enforcers, Gordon. I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long.
We're back with another episode of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, and as the Enforcer and the Stallion tend to do, at the end of the year, we have a very, very special episode.
This is a special holiday edition
of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. This is our official All Night Awards for 2016. This is where Joe and I scrape and dive directly headfirst into the year of professional wrestling that it was. Some good. So, all right, for people watching the live video.
Hey, look at all those people watching right now.
That's demoralizing. These are my notes. This guy isn't. We need like a cardboard cutout because these are my notes for our show. And all who I'm picking, I don't want you reading off of my notes. I respect your opinion. I respect my opinion. And I want this to be my own. I don't want you copying me. So
I wouldn't think of it.
I'm going to hold this close to the
chest. I would not think of it. I would not think of doing that.
I'm wearing the same beanie that Kevin McAllister wore in Home Alone.
It's a good beanie. It's a good bean. Is it keeping your head warm?
No. Not a,
oh, all right.
I keep my ears warm, though.
It's a thin stitch. What is that, maybe?
It's
is that a reindeer on there?
Egypt cotton. Yeah, Egyptian cotton. So let's get right into it. We're not going to talk about current professional wrestling. What happened last week? I didn't even watch it yet, so we're not going to do that. It's
a year-end special.
Yeah, we're recounting the year that it was, and it's tough when you look back on all this stuff. Like, it seems like January was so long ago.
It does.
And it was. Like, half the things that I chose at first, I was like, wait, I forget, did this happen this year? And sure enough, I go back, and it was, like, May. It's like, okay. So, we have 10 categories here.
10.
And you have your 1-10. That shit's been bothering me. Every, with the Ty Dillinger, the perfect 10, we got you. But now, every time the referee counts, tight. Now, hey, Natural. The Natural's texting us. So now every time the referee counts, they respond with 10. So it's like 1, 10, 2, 10. We could do without that. You know what we can't do without? The All Night Awards 2016, Daddy. Without further ado, we didn't discuss the order in which we're going to do it. So I figure, how about we start with Breakout Star of the Year? How do you feel about that?
I feel good about that.
All right, so I'll start with this one. You go second in the next one. You start and I'll go. So we kind of
Yeah, that's
it.
Fair. I like okay. that. It's a good system.
Thank you. I thought about that today while I was at work. Slamming my face into a car door. For me, the breakout star of the year. Now, to me, that means the guy who was not on the map last year. And you know his name this year. And he really surprised a lot of people. I'm going to go with Leo Rush.
It's a good choice.
Leo Rush, last year, I didn't know who Leo Rush was. I'm not going to sit here and be super duper Mark and be like, oh, well, he wrestled for IWA Mid-Atlantic. And no, I didn't know who Leo Rush was last year. This year, he's been all over Ring of Honor. And he worked for a bunch of other promotions. He worked for CZW. But he won the Top Prospect Tournament this year. And he's had really good matches with Donovan Dijak and... They're pushing him now. They have him in the program with the Motor City Machine Guns. So for me, the breakout star of 2016 was Leo Rush.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I didn't think of him. That's a good choice. Yeah, he.
Thank you.
He definitely has had a lot of good matches in ROH, certainly on ROH TV and stuff yeah. we've seen.
And he's only going to get better. The kid's like 14 years old.
No, you're right though. He's definitely going to get better.
He's 14.
I went with Will Ospreay.
I knew it. I knew you were going to go with Will Ospreay. I knew it.
Mainly because I'd heard of him before this year, but I think he really kind of blew up a little in terms of his popularity and the stuff that happened like with Vader, right? There was that whole thing this year at one point. And,
his match with Ricochet in New Japan.
Right, the match with Ricochet that started that whole thing with Vader. His matches in PWG. Now he signed to ROH. So I think he's got a lot of buzz around him.
He's got heat with me, though.
He's got heat with you.
He's got heat with
because of the selling?
Because no, actually, because if that's the case, Leo Rush would also have heat with me.
Yeah.
But no, he's got heat with me for his tweet about being annoyed with the WWE UK division.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Well,
he's got heat.
But I think he's a sought-after guy now, so I feel like he's a guy that you know, is kind of he's broken out in terms of more popularity and notoriety. So
I would agree with you. All right, so why don't you give us your manager of the year?
Manager of the year. This was an interesting one because I feel like in years past, this is one that's usually dominated by somebody like Paul Heyman or whatever.
Agreed.
But I try to think of somebody that was the most effective in the role of manager or valet. And the one that I came up with was Maryse.
Okay.
This year. She came back right at the night after WrestleMania, I think, right?
Yeah.
And paired up with The Miz, and that's been a pretty effective pairing, I would say, since March up until now. Right? And he's had some good feuds and some good matches, and her involvement has been a pretty big key in that. So I'm going to go with Maryse.
Maryse gets an honorable mention from me. For me, I think the manager slash valet of the year is Lana. Because for me, I could picture The Miz without Maryse. I can't picture Rusev without Lana. They kind of go together like lamb and pepperoni. No?
I don't know what to do.
What was that in Big Daddy? Spaghetti meatball. Is that better? It's not my fault your father didn't love you. Remember that scene when Steve Buscemi stands up at the end? Classic. Yeah, I think Lana, especially now what they're doing. I mean, the whole time she's been Rusev's mouthpiece, but she'll come out, she'll cut the promo leading to Rusev, and she does her a good job of getting him over because he's not a great, great talker, and you know, it seems like the quote unquote language barrier, you know, that whole thing. But I'm going to say Lana.
Okay, that's a good choice. So,
thank you, buddy. Now that's going to lead. Let's see, we got manager of the year. Where do you want to go next?
We could go to, how about, most improved.
I was going to say, this guy, man after my own heart.
What's going with that?
There's, for me,
escalation.
One answer in this, and that is The Miz. The Miz, he really has become must-see TV. I don't know if you want to thank him being, look at me, I look professional, I got a pen in my hand, like I'm taking notes. I don't know if you want to say he's been good and the brand split has given him more time to shine. But I feel like everything The Miz does is good. Whether it be matches in the ring, cutting promos, getting other talent over, The Miz, for me, is most improved.
Yeah, interesting, I guess. It's funny, when we didn't talk about who we picked before we did this, right? But you were talking about the categories and stuff like that, and which ones came to you quickest and which one and stuff like that. And you said this was the one that came to you
right off the bat.
And this was one that took me a while to figure out. Which is funny because we have the same answer. So
yes.
So I had The Miz for this also for most of the reasons that you mentioned, right? I mean, I used to hate like The Miz.
Like, I'm with you, like when he wrestled Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah, like during that era,
I couldn't stand him. Side note, sorry to cut you off. BK was always a huge fan of The Miz.
He was always.
Yeah, but I'm with you.
He knows the talent, right? Way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, this year I think I've enjoyed his. His act, I guess, more than I have in past years. Like that era that you mentioned, and then I think he had like a ill-fated babyface run at one point for a little while, which not really something that I think anybody looks back upon favorably. But he's had the Intercontinental title for most of the year. He added Maryse to his act, who's his real-life wife. He had several good matches, and he had the feud with Ziggler that was a really good.
Yeah, a lot of good matches with Ziggler.
And I think right after Mania, when he won the Intercontinental title, they had like some matches with Cesaro, and they had that four-way, I think, at Extreme Rules or something like that.
Yeah, when he won via heelish tactics. Yeah.
So there was a lot of good matches that he had, and now I think he's moving into a feud with Ambrose, and some of the stuff he's been doing with that has been good too. So he is someone that's gone from a guy that I couldn't stand seeing on TV and never wanting to watch his matches to somebody that I actually kind of look forward to seeing his segments on.
Right, and it's not really because of his wrestling per se. He has gotten better in the ring, but it's everything that surrounds it and how he sucks you in. He kind of makes you feel invested in that. So,
right.
You have any honorable mentions for that one?
For most improved? That's a good one. I was struggling to come up with somebody for this category. I don't know. I was trying to think of guys maybe from NXT that have improved or moved up, but nothing really stood out to me like when I tried to go down that path, you know, and like even like the...
Yeah, this was very, very... There were a couple of categories that I had an issue with. This one came to me right away, but after The Miz, there was nobody who was like, oh, yeah, he got a lot better. You know, it's like, I guess, now that I think about it, a case could be made for Michael Elgin. But he's always been good. You know, he just seems like he's had more of a platform this year.
I thought you were going to say that guy Evil from New Japan.
You know what's funny? He got son of a monkey's uncle. Yeah, I was thinking about Evil, too. What was his name? Watanabe.
Yeah, Watanabe.
Yeah, right. He kind of had a career resurgence, you know, as Evil. But or maybe Naito. Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's still tough because Miz went from being... Because Most Improved, like, you think you go... Like, we literally could not stand watching him to now we watch every one of his segments.
Yeah.
So, no choice but The Miz. All right, where are we going next, pal?
You want to just go right up the list here? What do we got? Feud of the Year?
Feud of the Year. This is... this is on you.
This was... Oh, jeez. Okay, this was a tough one for me, too. I had...
This was a very tough one for me, too.
You know, I was trying to go through the different promotions, at least the ones that I watch, which is
mostly... WCW, USWA...
Yeah, Mid-Atlantic.
Mid-Atlantic. Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
And trying to come up with ones from different, you know, different promotions, right? And so I was trying to think of ones from...
Global Wrestling Federation. IWCCW.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, I was trying to think of WWE feuds, obviously, and I couldn't really think of one that stood out, right? Obviously, Charlotte and Sasha Banks had a good feud for a while.
I'm going to tell you why I didn't choose that one. Because a feud to me is more than just a title change every 2 weeks. So that, while that was the leading candidate for me, it became disqualified because of the amount of title changes.
Yeah, and I also agree with that, and I also would say, like, for a feud to stand out, it's, like, it's matches that are good, and it's also, like, the storylines and angles that stand out,
right?
Like, so there's, that's a feud that people will remember, but I can't remember a lot of angles within it that stand out to me as, like, oh, this was a really good feud, they built it up.
Exactly, that's a great point.
So, like, I took that one out of the mix.
I wonder if we have the same one, now that I think about what you're saying.
Maybe. So I was trying to think of other ones, like Styles and Cena had a nice feud for a little while, but nothing really major there. NXT, I was trying to think of feuds, but nothing really stood out to me there either. Like, Joe and Nakamura have been feuding, which has been fine. It just didn't stand out. So it came down to two for me, and the one that I picked was Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yahtzee! That's the one I picked. I knew it.
And I picked that one over The Miz and Ziggler because I liked the way that it ended better. It's been going on a little bit longer. And the end of the feud was the culmination of them having a world title match on the biggest show of the year and O'Reilly finally overcoming and winning the title. Whereas, right. Like, Miz and Ziggler had a lot of good matches and they had good angles in the feud. And the pinnacle of it was probably the match where Ziggler's career was on the line and he ended up winning the title.
Only two.
But then they ended up losing it and then right. Had another match after that at the ladder match, which he also lost and all that. So I liked the way that the feud arced and ended with O'Reilly and Cole, and they had a bunch of good matches over
the course of the last year. There was a storyline to it, and it made sense. I completely agree with you. Plus, it had it had history behind it. It went, you know, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole were a tag team known as Future Shock. They broke up. They had a couple of great matches. And then this year, they kind of... I don't want to say they picked up where they left off, but they kind of reformed Future Shock with Red Dragon. And then Adam Cole cost Kyle O'Reilly the title match against Jay Lethal at All-Star Weekend?
It was...
Yeah.
It was the anniversary show or
something? Yeah, anniversary show. Yeah, same thing. And then from there... But you're right. It made sense. It's... I guess you can call it classic booking. It really was. It was the issue... The apex and the climax, and you know it was, and everybody looked strong, and it wasn't 50-50 where like Kyle O'Reilly wins this week, Adam Cole wins this week, and then Adam Cole had cost Kyle O'Reilly the shot against
Lethal
against Jay Lethal. He beat you know, he destroyed his shoulder and then he wrestled anyway. So it was classic booking, and I think it was done well, and I think that was the only one for me that was the only choice.
Cool. So you want to do Card of the Year, and this would be yours, right? Start with the Card of the Year.
Card of the Year. This one was tough for me because everything sucked in 2016. No, wow, I'm just kidding. That's not the case. Card of the Year for me, obviously, we've talked about this several times. People value different things in professional wrestling. You ask a guy like BK, he enjoys the spectacle, you know? Me, I enjoy a little more of the professional wrestling aspect. I think you're right down the middle. For me... Bill Alfonso, right down the middle, daddy. So for me, the Card of the Year was the card that had the best wrestling matches of the year. And for me, that was New Japan Pro Wrestling, King of Pro Wrestling. The main three matches of that card. Will be hard pressed to find three better matches. It was Kyle O'Reilly versus Shibata for the Never Openweight title. It was Kenny Omega versus Hirooki Goto for a number one contenders match. And, well, it was for the briefcase. Omega is getting a shot at Wrestle Kingdom 11. And then Okada versus Mara Fuji in the main event. And I had not been very familiar with Mara Fuji. I've seen him a little bit in the G1, but I didn't see too much of him. And those three matches back to back to back were just, they probably three of the top 10 matches of the year. And for me, that card, I mean, there was also Young Bucks. It was also Young Bucks versus Ricochet and Matt Sydal. Last minute, Dave Finley replaced him, and it was Young Bucks versus Finley and Ricochet, and even that match was tremendous. But Shibata versus O'Reilly was just a hard-hitting, brutal back-and-forth match. Shibata got the win. Omega versus Goto told a good story because Omega had won the briefcase, and Goto had never been champion, and he lost to Omega in the finals, and there was a lot of scuttlebutt that Goto was going to win and then wrestle a...
Good word on the scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt, yeah. I looked that up. That Goto was going to win and finally get the briefcase this year and then wrestle Okada. Wasn't the case. Omega put on a great match, and the main event, like I said, Okada, Mara Fuji was just... If you get a chance to watch that, that was, man, for me, not my match of the year, but it was close. So, now that I think about it, Kenny Omega could have been most improved. I dropped the ball.
No.
But for me, New Japan Pro Wrestling, King of Pro Wrestling was the card of the year.
Okay. I had it down to two, and I went with NXT TakeOver Toronto, which was actually like a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And I went with that because, you know, there's five matches on the card, but like there's all, like, similar to what you were saying as far as match quality and stuff that you remember on the show. So I remember the whole Rude and Dillinger opener with the crazy entrances right in Canada, and that was a really good match. They had the finals of the Dusty Classic, which was a solid match, nothing spectacular, but Authors of Pain, right, beat TM61.
Love
then we had the 2 out of 3 falls, right, Gargano and Ciampa against the Revival, which was excellent.
Absolutely fantastic matchup.
Mickey James returning for the first time in 6 years to fight Asuka, which I thought was also a very good match.
Mickey James did not lose a step either.
Yeah. Right, and then Joe and Nakamura for the title, which Joe won in a surprise in the main event. So I think for top to bottom, like a show that I could go back and rewatch like a lot during the course of the year.
And not fast forward. That's pretty much what my criteria too.
Yeah, right? So that was that's up there. That was my number one. I thought the final battle show we went to was also very good.
That was my honorable mention. Yeah.
So just again, like you said, for a lot of high quality matches, especially later in the card, is one that I haven't been able to go back and watch all the matches on like
right.
TV yet. But just being there, I thought it was
that
was.
I got a chance to watch the final three thanks to the tube of you.
The tube.
But I think it's important for a card of the year to not have any garbage in there. Like you said, there's something you could put on and you could watch the entire way through. And you know, the cards you mentioned, I think, are great choices. They were both in consideration. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't even look at, like, not one WWE show made that list, because there's always going to be some level of garbage in it, you know? Like, there's always going to be something.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I tried to look at, I was trying to think of, like, nothing stood out to me off the top of my head as far as WWE card. I think, like, maybe Extreme Rules maybe was the best one in terms of match quality for consistency.
Yep.
But, like, I looked at WrestleMania because, like, I couldn't remember, like, half
me
of it.
Me neither, yeah.
So then I went to look at the results on Wikipedia still or whatever. Remember, and, right? Like, yeah, like, when you look at it, it's just like, oh, wow, that's not, like, I would not qualify, like, in terms at all. So, like, and then I scrolled through a bunch of other pay-per-views after that, and... nothing really. It just couldn't make the cut based off the ones I think that we brought up.
Here, gotcha. So. Nice choices. Your choice of which one to do next?
Well, let's go up. Right? Organization of the year.
Yeah,
I think that's me. Yeah. I just went. I thought, you know, obviously the choices here are, there's like maybe five or six choices, right? You're looking at WWE. You're looking at
IWA Mid South.
Smoky Mountain, right?
Right.
Yeah. NXT. ROH, TNA, New Japan, and maybe PWG, right? I mean, that's really, I don't
NXT,
know.
NXT, does that count?
I counted it. Well, that's my choice, so yeah.
It's, okay, nice.
So I'm going to count that one separately. So I went with NXT because I thought that just from a week-to-week standpoint of the shows and the pay-per-views that they do, like the match quality is really good and the storylines are pretty straightforward and
consistent.
Yeah. So, like, you know, NXT TakeOver Toronto, like I mentioned, which is my favorite show of the year. The TakeOver Brooklyn show was also very good. they had a couple other shows earlier in the year, like in the beginning of the year. I think it was somewhere in England, I think, right? It was
Lancashire.
Yeah. Brogue Kick. there were shows out there. I remember they had the American Alpha and the Revival was on those shows. They were doing Balor and Joe at that point, right? And they kind of brought in some new guys, and Asuka's been fighting for the women's title. So I just think from them, like, obviously they lose wrestlers to the main roster. Like, they lost Zayn earlier in the year. They've lost a few others over the course of Enzo and Cass and all these guys that come up. But yeah, I think from a consistency and a quality standpoint, and it was something that I enjoy watching every week, I went with NXT.
It was a good pick. See, this is tough for me because I actually threw NXT under the WWE banner because they're one big organization. So, believe it or not, as much as I bury and destroy them, I chose the WWE. If it's based on content alone, you have to choose them because they have NXT. They have 205 Live. They're going to have all this stuff in England now. And, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'll say the WWE because it's something I watch every week, and I'm forced to watch it every single week because I'm forced to. The gun to my head. But there is a lot of great stuff in what they do, and they are all encompassing. My second choice would have been New Japan Pro Wrestling because, well, I guess I'll get to a little bit of that later. But New Japan Pro Wrestling, you know, even their worst shows still have like one or two you cannot miss matches, and that's important. But I just, it's tough for me to keep up with everything from New Japan. And Ring of Honor, it's been the wrestling hasn't been inconsistent, but the frequency of shows and stuff like that, it's kind of tough to keep up with because they're showing shows from that they taped 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. So I went with WWE because I am a mark.
And very excited about it.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Tag Team of the Year for me, I have to go with the Young Bucks. I'm talking consistency of matches. I'm talking you get a great match every single time from whether they're wrestling Red Dragon, they're wrestling the Briscoes, they're wrestling Sydal and Ricochet, they're wrestling the Addiction, their ladder war match against Motor City and the Addiction. Those guys are money. They're the best tag team going right now. They're the most consistent tag team. If the Young Bucks are wrestling on, you have 15 matches on a card and the Young Bucks are wrestling, you're going to watch that match. So for me, it's an easy choice, the Young Bucks.
Yeah, they are a good I think I had them last year as well. I was deciding between them and one other team. New Day. I was kidding. It's not the New Day.
Thank God. Thank God.
No, I went with the Revival. I thought the Revival were the best.
Yeah, they
team.
Were my second. Yeah, that was a good one.
Just because they've had several really good matches on pay-per-view this year. Not that the Young Bucks have not. I just wanted to, you know, go with a team like them.
You don't want to, you know, look like a fanboy.
No. Yeah. They had a couple of really good matches, I remember, with American Alpha in the first half of the year.
Remember them? Remember they were a thing?
Yeah. That was like a huge coming out party for them, I guess, right? With all their great matches they were having. They won the tag titles. They traded it back and forth. And then the Revival moved into the feud with Gargano and Ciampa, which they've had several really good matches with those guys. I think those are kind of breakout performances from all those guys involved in that match, in those matches rather. So, and they've held the NXT tag titles for the bulk of the year as well. So I went with them as a team this year just because they really stood out to me as, like I would really want to see any Revival match that they have, you know, especially if it's a title match. So.
The only reason I didn't choose the Revival is because I don't want to say they're only big match wrestlers, but you don't see enough of them, you know? And I understand distance makes the heart grow fonder, but I want to see competitive matches in between. I don't want to see them in the Dusty Classic bowing out of matches, but they were definitely in there for me, and also DIY was up there because DIY came in, was it July they started teaming together? June?
Probably like a little bit earlier in the year, I would say, right? Yeah, like sometime in the first half of the year, maybe like
spring.
Well,
when did we see them? When do we see Johnny Gargano?
We saw Gargano
at Evolve.
That was in the summer, I think, right?
Yeah. Maybe?
No, it was, well, September was his last Evolve show.
Right, so they had been teaming together probably 3 or 4 months by then, so you're right. So you're looking at probably May. And the way they ran through the Dusty Classic and they had the matches with the Revival, DIY was really, really close to that for me. But You know, I'm a huge homer for Red Dragon, but I couldn't do it this year. They didn't tag team.
They didn't team enough. Yeah,
I'm being, like you said, down the middle, man. I'm trying to be what's that word? Trying to be fair and impartial.
Unbiased.
Fair and impartial. I know I'm biased. Impartial. God.
It's good.
All right.
It's a great call.
So now, oh no, my pen broke.
Oh boy.
Tight. Who's who kicks this one off now? You do, right?
Me. Yeah. Female wrestler of the year.
FOTY. The FOTY.
Yeah. So Bertha Faye, obviously. What?
No. I thought she knows she's like the female Dusty with the polka dots.
Bull Nakano.
Bull Nakano. I think it's
Bull Nakano.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not Bull Nakano.
The Jumping Bomb Angels, are they on the list?
I just watched them wrestle and they series, were yeah, awesome. She hit a dragon suplex on WWE TV in 1988, one of the JBAs. I don't know which one. Under the JBA.
No, I guess in all seriousness, most of the women's wrestlers that stand out are, you know, probably the ones in WWE, right? Because I can't really think of any in TNA and ROH, just kind of getting their Women of Honor thing going.
Well, you have Gail Kim.
There is Gail Kim, yeah. But I don't know, TNA is kind of a rough situation right now, so it's hard for me to include them in anything. Anyway, it really comes down to
breakout star of the year should have been King Maxwell.
He is 1-0.
Yeah, he's 1-0.
But I just, you know, obviously it could be any of the whatever the divas from NXT that came up.
They're female wrestlers now.
Excuse me. Yes, the women's
politically
wrestlers.
Politically incorrect. Unbelievable.
So it would either be, you know, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, or Bayley probably would be the choices. And I went with Charlotte because I felt like she was the one that I first really noticed in NXT as becoming a breakout type women's wrestler. Sasha came along with her a little bit after that, Becky then as well, and Bayley has been there the whole time. I just thought from the case of she's been on the main roster for like a year and a half, Charlotte, and she's been consistently put in, you know, the main
high profile.
Yeah, the main
and she's
spot.
Undefeated at pay-per-views, bro.
Yeah. So she's done a good job. She started as a babyface and turned heel not long after that. She's had feuds with Nikki Bella, she had feuds with Paige, and then this year spent most of it dealing with Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Natalya, and then Bayley a little bit. And you know, she had the matches she had with Sasha are pretty well publicized at this point. I think she's a little bit better than Sasha in terms of the overall package.
Yeah.
And she's won the women's title, like, what, 4 times?
13.
Yeah, times. So she's well on her way. So I went with Charlotte.
I agree with you. I went with Charlotte. I'm a big fan of Charlotte, and I just think she's getting better in the ring. What she's able to do, she sells very well. She's kind of got the whole game down. And what she does that I don't see a lot of other women do, like, she uses the ring and, like, she uses her environment very well, and it's very realistic. Her facial expressions have gotten a lot better. They used to be absolutely atrocious, but I thought her selling was really good, and she's gotten rid of that Serena Williams scream that she used to do a lot, and she stopped wooing. So really all the complaints I had for her are gone. So for me, it is Charlotte. Now, that'll lead us to Male Wrestler of the Year. There's only one guy, AJ Styles. He is the best in the world of what he does right now. He's getting matches out of people that are not as good as him, that some of them aren't even close to as good of a wrestler as he is, and he's making everybody that he works with better. He has gotten better on the mic as a total package. AJ Styles is the man.
Lex Luger.
Lex Luger. I'm good.
Total package. That's it? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm good.
There's more coming for
that. Nope, that's it.
No, I agree with you 100%. That's he's the only choice that stood out to me as, you know, the individual male wrestler of the year that, like, obviously, like, head and shoulders above anybody else.
Imwadi. Imwadi? Individual male wrestler of the year. I don't know why I'm doing that. I'm a VOTY.
What was the... I just watched Total Nonstop Deletion, right? Did you watch that? What was it, Itchweed? I think he gets a vote.
Jeff Hardy's. And I did hear Matt Hardy call somebody an obsolete mule recently, so I'm going to go with that.
That's fair. No, AJ Styles, you know, his whole year, if you just look at... I think it started with he had a match with Nakamura in New Japan, I believe, at Wrestle Kingdom.
Way to blow up my next stuff going on.
Hey, I didn't, you know...
Oh, look at this. You know. Johnny come lately to the party and date the hot chick, so I couldn't invite her. Unbelievable.
And then several matches. We made the Royal Rumble, right? He had a feud with Jericho for a few months.
That was awesome.
a couple matches with Roman Reigns that were both pretty solid. Moved over to SmackDown, feuded with John Cena, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, several matches. He's been the champion for about 3.5 months on SmackDown. He's just been basically carrying that whole brand since he's been over there.
Him and Dean Ambrose have, and people care about Dean Ambrose because of what AJ was able to do for him.
So. Yeah, he elevates everybody that he's in the ring with. His promos have been excellent. Yeah. For a guy who I didn't really think was a good interview.
And he was funny on commentary, too.
And he's funny. He's just overall, he's the best performer in the world right now. So
I really think he's the best we've seen in quite some time. Runner-up for me has to be Okada from New Japan. He's as consistent, he's as consistent as AJ. We don't have the exposure over here, and it's, with the... Can't really tell how his promos are, obviously, but he's, same deal. Okada's in a match, and he makes other people look good. And that's what a really good performer can do, and that's what AJ Styles has done time and time again. So, that leads us to match of the year, buddy. Match of the year, and it's on you.
Oh, it's up to me, huh?
I have a lot of honorable mentions
for myself. Oh, okay.
I have 5 total.
Wow, that's pretty...
I was indecisive. Plus, I was doing it at the gym when I was after I took my pre-workout. It's crushing back, by the way.
Yeah,
black pulls are.
There's no other way that you do it, man.
No, it's not. I go hard in the paint. But I was like, I'm on pre-workout, so my mind's going like, I got one. And then I was like, was this from this year? I'm like, all right, I got 2. And then 5 later, I'm like, I gotta stop. What do you got for me, Daddy?
I went with
Dana Brooke versus.
Spoiler alert, bro.
Was it Dana Brooke? No. Tell me it's Dana Brooke.
It's not Dana Brooke. It's not.
Okay. Who is it?
It's the 2 out of 3 falls match between Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and The Revival from TakeOver Toronto.
Okay. That's a good pick.
Those two matches they had were ones where I was reacting like a Mark fan, right? I just was... reacting to the spots and the near falls and stuff like that, which these days is hard to do, I think.
Yeah, it really is.
But I had a rooting interest. I like Gargano a lot. We met him, right? Really nice guy. Several good matches. I think he's a really good baby face. The Revival are a great team, especially with heel tactics that they pull off, which is something that a lot of other teams don't do these days. So those two matches they had, the one in Brooklyn and the one in Toronto, were excellent. I gave it to the one in Toronto. It was 2 out of 3 falls. It was longer, and then it ended with Gargano and Ciampa winning the titles. So I thought that was great.
Totally good story.
Yeah. So that's my choice for match of the year. I'm trying to think of other ones that really would stand out to me.
I think once I tell you a couple of mine, it might click.
Yeah. Go ahead. Why don't you go with your list? Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you which one did make it, but it was close. That was Zayn Owens and Battleground.
Hmm.
It was a fantastic match, and if you're a strictly pure WWE fan, that should be your match of the year. But seeing that match several times before and almost the same spots, I couldn't in good conscience call that my match of the year. Man, I still don't know which one I want to go with. I don't know, buddy.
Well, you want me to tell you what my second one
was?
Yeah,
give me your second one.
The only one that popped into my head was... I remember Nakamura and Zayn having a really good match. Where are you going?
I'm done.
You dropped the pen and the pad.
Damn it.
Weird. The list of Enforcer.
This is the bromance list.
Oh, the bromance. That's one I remember thinking about. People were like raving about that match when it happened. I remember watching it. It's really, really good. The reason I didn't pick that was because... there wasn't a whole lot of storyline around it. It was just they brought in Nakamura, and his first match was with Zayn, and Zayn was kind of on his way out of NXT at that point. So it was kind of like a Nakamura was coming in, and Zayn was on his way out, and they had a really good match together just because they were both really great wrestlers. And then they went their separate directions. That's the only reason I didn't choose that, is because of the kind of the storyline tie-in with those two guys.
That's the exact same reason why it was in my honorable mention. It wasn't on my top... Marufuji versus Okada, I spoke about. I'm going to say, for me, match of the year was Nakamura versus AJ from Wrestle Kingdom 10. I probably watched that match 10 times in total. It's, if you haven't seen it, it's almost a perfect match. it told a good story with the Bullet Club versus Nakamura. The finish was just downright brutal. It was a Bomaye or a Kinshasa to the back of the neck, and the whole match was so hard hitting. I think they went like 29 minute match, and you could watch it for AJ. We've already said Nakamura is one of the best in the world right now. AJ is the best in the world right now, and watch that match, you'll understand why both guys are where they are. The other one I thought about was Omega and Elgin from ladder match from New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion. Mm. I've talked about that match like 10 times. I thought that was a fantastic match. It was the first ladder match in New Japan, which is monumental, so it might have done from New Japan what HBK and Razor did for WWE. But aside from that, I mean, when you look at the list here, you get a lot of the same names. You get a lot of the Nakamura, a lot of AJ Styles, a lot of DIY, and a lot of we both had. I'm calling Kyle O'Reilly. So
yeah.
So that's it, man. The All Night Awards 2016. What are you looking for? This is off script. We didn't even talk about this, but
we're ad-libbing now.
Ad-libbing. We're spitballing here. What are you looking forward to in 2017 in regards to pro wrestling?
Pro wrestling.
More Legends House on the network.
Are they coming back with that?
I don't know.
Okay, good. I don't want it. I don't want that.
Should put us in that show. No. More than Noelle Foley. God, that's
Holy Foley.
Holy Foley, it's bad. Yeah.
What am I looking forward to in 2017? I would say a couple of things. First, I would say there's some uncertainty as far as what the WrestleMania card is going to be. I couldn't really predict more than maybe two matches right now. And those two matches don't involve guys like AJ Styles, John Cena, Undertaker, guys like that. The only two matches I would say that I know that I think are going to happen are Triple H and Seth Rollins and Lesnar and Goldberg again. Those are the only two that I would think would happen. Everything else is on the table. I don't know who the champions are going to be. I don't know who their opponents are going to be. I don't know who's winning the Rumble. Like, I literally have no idea about any of that.
Yeah.
I assume Owens and Jericho are going to face each other at some point. I don't know when.
I really don't hope it's Mania. That doesn't seem like a Mania.
Yeah, I don't know when that'll be. So that's probably one thing. Just, like, it's kind of neat to not have it all, like, know where it's all going, where you can say, like, okay, well, this guy's going to win the Rumble, and then he's going to face this guy, and, like, it's all kind of set in stone. Like, I don't really know.
I agree, yeah.
The other thing, I guess, is really just you know, always looking for new, new breakout stars to come out in the new year, right? Like we mentioned some of the guys earlier in the show, Leo Rush you brought up, Will Ospreay, Marty Scurll, I know is a big guy that you're a fan of.
Another guy I'm a fan of that got signed WWE, Tommy End.
Yep, Tommy End.
Might see him in NXT. Big Damo, now he's in Sanity. So
right, like Roddy's in NXT now. So there's a lot of guys that...
How about Roddy in NXT?
Just look, things like that, right? Like, and it could be in either direction. It could be a new guy that starts, that maybe comes up from either Evolve or Ring of Honor or maybe... or whatever, or somebody that maybe comes from the indies into NXT. So there's a lot of rumors about Adam Cole leaving when his contract is up at the end of
April.
Chris Hero coming over. So, like, that would be a fresh start for those guys and a new company, especially for a guy like Cole who hasn't been there yet. So, like, new stuff like that is stuff that I kind of look forward to see who can break out. And even, like, we cover a lot of Women of Honor stuff on this show, which, you know, so I think if they have more
focus on those. Yeah, I'm excited about Women of Honor, too. I know there are rumors of WWE doing like a Cruiserweight Classic for women kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I hope it doesn't work, but I hope that the Women of Honor takes off, because the thing that's so cool about Women of Honor and a lot of Ring of Honor in general is that you don't have to have a full-time contract with them to be successful. You know, they bring in these girls like a Deonna Purrazzo, who was on every single show known to man last week. I think she was even on Glow. Is that still around? Glow.
Yeah.
It is?
Glorious Ladies of Wrestling, sure.
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, I think. The Bobby Roode Ladies of Wrestling. Wow, that would be cool. Never mind. So you have Candice LeRae, who wrestles for PWG, and she wrestles all over the place. You have like Havoc. You have Mandy Leon. You have who just left?
Deonna Purrazzo?
She
didn't leave, but...
Who left for Ring of Honor?
Left Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
Veda Scott?
Veda Scott. You have rumors of her going to WWE. You have... Taylor Hendricks, who I'm a big fan of. You have Tessa Blanchard. Like, so there's a lot of female talent, and I think right now... The WWE needs to work on doing a better job focusing on other female talent besides, you know, Sasha and Charlotte and even Bayley at this point. It's getting a little bit stale. But so Women of Honor is going to be huge going forward. And I am I like what Ring of Honor is doing in terms of bringing a little bit more international talent, because they're, you know, in the last year, I mean, they lost AJ Styles. They lost Roderick Strong. Who else did Ring of Honor lose this year?
They lost Elgin. They're going to lose.
They might lose Adam Cole.
They just lost Carino and Nigel McGuinness from a authority figure and commentator standpoint.
And going over New Japan, I mean, they lost half their roster. They lost, you know, the Bullet Club. They lost AJ. They lost Anderson Gallows. They lost Nakamura. Those are four of the biggest stars they had. And what did they do? They elevated Tatsuya Naito. They made Los Ingobernables de Japón, you know, and that is now one of the main factions in New Japan. New Japan is very good at creating this new talent, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, who they build going forward. I know they're building Marufuji. They're also, you know, they're building Goto up. But there's a lot of guys shifting, you know, and I think we said before, there's a lot of Ring of Honor contracts that are going to be up, and who knows if these guys are going to be going to WWE or not. So. Right. There's a big question mark in 2017. Mm. But you know what's not going to be a question in 2017? Where are we going to be? Where's the North Ocean Wrecking Crew? The Cell Pat Den connection. There's got to be something here. Oh, the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast.
That's it. That's
where are we going to be? We're going to be somewhere else. We're going to be here, but we're going to be on other platforms.
Yeah.
We're going to be on... on Yahoo's main page. We're going to be official podcast at MSN.com. We're actually also being sponsored by the NFL this year.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Oh.
None of what I just said is true, but there will be other places to find us this coming new year, which we're super excited about. Hopefully that means more exposure. Hopefully that means a couple of guys get to go full-time. Full-time big league. Johnny Big League here.
You know what I haven't had in a while?
Big League Chew. That's how we wrap up another episode of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate you guys listening to us. If you like the show, subscribe, like, share, do anything. Talk about us on Twitter. Get us trending.
Even if you don't like it, that's fine.
Yeah, no, if you don't like it, keep tell me I things. Suck. Cut That'll a promo be... on me.
I'm fine with all that.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
And just... somebody, a friend of mine, Neil, said we should have a segment on the show called Behind the Beards.
I like that.
That's, I like that good. Too. Yeah, I don't. You know what's behind this beard?
There's not much behind my beard.
Disappointment.
Yeah.
Disappointment and underachieving.
Failure. That's what I got going for me.
I think I have something that's like my mustache. Failure all over the place.
I had it for lunch today.
This kid is unbelievable. Kid Cash is money, Joe. Facebook.com/AllNightLongWP. Twitter @AllNightLongWP. Instagram, which I'm not going to post because I look like this, @AllNightLongWP. Like I said, we have a lot of stuff coming on, and we're going to be going to Manhattan Mayhem coming up for Ring of Honor. So we're going to be all over Instagram and Twitter with that. So we appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate you guys getting us to over 3,000 listens this year. For a couple of yambags talking about a microphone, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
That's not bad. And what other weekly podcast does live Facebook while multifaceted, multi-platform?
I mean, we're on the cutting edge of technology. So, I mean, there's no stopping us now.
That's a Jefferson Starship song. There's no...
Nothing's going to stop us now.
That is. And we appreciate you guys listening and tuning in once again. And for the Stallion, I'm the Enforcer. Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. And we're tapping out.